Everyone needs a little help, even if you have trouble admitting it. You need sales help. It doesn't matter how long you've been in sales. The more you learn, the more you earn. If your sales need help, it's time to consider the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the fun and easy way to brush up on sales fundamentals and learn new advanced strategies to close your next deal. We've got hundreds of hours of lessons on closing, referrals, prospecting. It's like Jeffrey sitting there right next to you, helping you close your next deal. You won't find a more comprehensive library of sales knowledge that you can actually use. Go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com and sign up for a free demo. Did I mention it's free? Free demo. I like free.
I couldn't really tell. I was going to ask you at some point. I didn't know how much older you were than me, though, Jeffrey. So I didn't,
yeah.
Oh, snap.
Well, let's put it this way. My underwear is probably older than you.
Oh, man.
It definitely is, because I just bought MeUndies. I don't know if you guys have heard of the company MeUndies, but
no.
Yeah, you got to check it out. It's the most comfortable underwear ever.
You're the second guest on this show to recommend underwear.
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. This is Sell or Die, the only sales podcast on the planet that isn't afraid to say you're either selling or you're dying. Because there's no second place in sales. Win or go hungry. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Gleckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute. And today, we are going to help you sell like hell.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a great guest coming up. But first, we want to introduce you to the one, the only, our man behind the curtain, behind the glass wall.
Wait, it's a glass window.
What? You know, it's a metaphor here. It's okay. Our amazing producer, Mr. Doug Branson. Hey, Doug.
Hello, Jeffrey. Hello, Jennifer. I want to remind everyone they can subscribe to this podcast and share it with their friends on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Overcast, wherever you get your podcast. Just search Sell or Die and make sure to leave us a review. We always love getting feedback from the diehards out there.
Five stars or nothing.
That's
Doug
right.
Doug sounds amazing on the mic.
We're the Uber of podcasts. We want a five-star rating.
Except we don't rate you. You only rate us. And don't forget to join us for Motivation Mondays, our live sales meeting on Facebook.com/Jeffrey Gittimer. We put on the podcast feed as well. But if you join us live on Facebook, you get to see us, interact with us, engage with us, ask us questions, or just say hello.
Okie dokie. Let's get to the rest of the show. It's time to sell or die.
Jason is the co-founder and chief revenue officer of Blissful Prospecting.
What's his last name?
Jason Bay.
Oh, great. Jason Bay. Like the Hudson Bay,
Jason
right?
Jason Bay, sort of, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Are they still alive? Are they still like open?
The Hudson Bay people?
Hudson Bay.
Oh, it's a big department store in Canada, yeah. I was speaking about the body of water.
Oh, all right. I went to shopping. Anyway, Jason Bay is the co-founder and chief revenue officer of Blissful Prospecting. He founded Blissful Prospecting with his wife, Sarah, and today he's here to tell you how to get amazing clients through prospecting.
Oh, now that is interesting to me. Welcome, Jason.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me on. This is something that I've been super excited about, so looking forward to, what we have to dig through today.
We are happy you're here.
And just to give people a little bit of background, Jason, you're a network prospector on LinkedIn rather than Facebook or Twitter.
Or Instagram.
Yeah. Well, I'm an Instagrammer actually, but tell us why.
Yeah. One of the things that, so social media is a really interesting thing, especially in business to business. And one of the things that I've personally done is I've started and deleted 3 Instagram accounts and 2 Snapchat accounts.
Oh my goodness.
So I found that I wasn't using those platforms to really consume much business knowledge. And one of the things that when we started Blissful Prospecting that we started looking into, and one of the things I pay a lot of attention to is how our customers consume content and where they go to consume content. And none of the people that we work with consume business content on Instagram or Snapchat. I mean, it might come up in their feed, but they're not looking for tactical information on prospecting in those feeds. And for some reason, most of the people we work with, you know, they have a Twitter profile and they like retweeting stuff, but again, they're not really in it as much as LinkedIn. And I'm one of those people that really believes you go all out on a channel, especially if it's working. And LinkedIn is the sort of hot platform right now that is becoming more than just like a resume. You know, I'm sure you guys remember when LinkedIn first came out, it was like a resume page, essentially. They didn't even really have a feed. And people are now using it more as social media, right? They're getting more personal. They're actually connecting, having conversations on LinkedIn. And what we're here to talk about today is a lot of people are doing that very poorly. Right. And we can talk about that. But that's the reason for the focus on LinkedIn.
And so is there, like, what I find happens to me on LinkedIn a lot is people connect with me and then they thank me for connecting and they immediately try to sell me something. What do you think about that?
I despise that.
Okay, good. I feel like I hate it too.
Yeah, to me that's no different than going up to a networking event and being, "Hey, Jennifer, how's it going?" And then they cut you off before you get to answer. "Oh, by the way, I'm Jason. Here's what I'm selling."
Right.
And you just want to be like, "Dude, what the hell, man?"
Right. Exactly.
I agree.
I like when people try to sell you right away. It's one of my favorite things because I know who never to deal with again. I can immediately delete them from people that I might want to have a conversation with.
So what do you recommend to your clients?
So to step back a little bit, like one of the things, I love LinkedIn as a tool, but one of the mistakes that from a prospecting standpoint that you can make is relying too much on a single channel. So the way that we look at LinkedIn is that's a part of the sales cadence, like the touches when you're reaching out to someone. It's not the channel that we use. But to answer your question, the thing that we recommend is, I mean, it's the same old sales stuff that you guys have been talking about for like decades, right? Leading with value.
Wait a second. Are you busting my balls because I'm older than you are?
Maybe slightly.
Well, I couldn't really tell. I was going to ask you at some point. I didn't know how much older you were than me though, Jeffrey. So I mean,
yeah.
Oh, snap.
Well, let's put it this way. My underwear is probably older than you.
Oh, man.
It definitely is because I just bought MeUndies. I don't know if you guys have heard of the company MeUndies, but
no.
Yeah, you got to check it out. It's the most comfortable underwear ever.
You're like the second guest on this show to recommend underwear. So really? I'm not even kidding. Yeah.
Jeffrey, you seem like the type of guy that has like holes in your underwear and like all
no,
kinds
I'm
of
No, I'm not. Like I have my underwear happens to match. But enough of that. I use Umbro and I use a couple of other sort of off brands, but they, you know, they're good.
Getting personal with Jason and Jeffrey.
I love it.
But, so what's the name of this place?
MeUndies.
MeUndies.
Oh, me. Yep.
Yeah, definitely check it out. So to answer your question, though, about the value, the big thing is that, I mean, it's a law of reciprocity. I feel like it's pretty simple stuff. Executing it can be difficult sometimes, but the way that you should really lead is you got to think about the person that you're reaching out to, what types of goals and challenges and potentially fears they might have. So we call those personas, right? Knowing who you're reaching out to at the company. And that might be different. Like the way that I recommend segmenting the type of content or value that you might want to share is based on two things. There's a book that a guy named William Miller wrote called Selling Above and Below the Line. And what I love about it is you take the personas that you're reaching out to, and the above the line personas are typically people that are more strategic at the company. So your C-level people, your VPs, and then the below the line people are typically directors and managers. And the reason why you want to reach out to both is that directors and managers, they might not be the person that signs off on the budget, but they could have just as much impact on the decision because they're the person that's going to
use it,
really be feeling the most pain likely in how you can help them.
I totally agree with that.
So the type of value that you share is really like contextual to who you're reaching out to. And that's like the most important thing. I think people put too much stock into the message and like the templates and like what it should say, versus just thinking about who they're reaching out to. So where that comes in with value in the above the line, if you know these are people that are more strategic and they're not going to read a 40-page PDF and they're probably don't even know what their sales team is actually saying on the phone, right? So you want to focus on things that are more revenue oriented, profit oriented, reducing risk. And it might be a cool white paper that talks about things that you're seeing if you're helping SaaS companies, trends you're seeing in business to business SaaS companies that hit X percentage of their quota or smash their quotas or whatever. And it could be something they could share with their team. And that's very strategic in thinking versus like a sales manager or a director of sales. You might like say, hey, here are the 10 techniques that these SaaS teams are using when they send their outreach that would be really helpful to help them hit their quotas on a weekly basis. So the value is really in the form of content, and you just have to be contextual and remember who you're reaching out to. And this requires a lot of customization. So you can't just send the same type of message out to every single person that you're reaching out to. It's got to be specific to their industry or their ideal client profile. And then you have to get specific down to the persona too. And if you do that, it actually requires less personalization. So you don't have to say things like, I noticed you went to this college. Like, you don't have to do that if it's very specific and very contextual for them.
I think that there's a message there that says, if you're going to talk to the CEO of the company, you may have to talk to him at a 35,000 foot level.
Yep.
If you're going to talk to a salesperson, you need to talk to them at a 1 foot level.
Yeah.
Literally the foot that goes in the door and sits down in front of a customer that can say yes to them. And the question that I would ask, just me personally, is how many minutes are you in front of a person that can say yes to you every day? How many minutes are you in front of someone that can actually give you money? And yep, that's the value of prospecting is that you get in front of more of those people.
Hello, everybody. This is Jake Stenziano, host of Wheelbarrow Profits Podcast, here with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, Mr. Gino Barbaro.
The Wheelbarrow Profits Podcast catalogs our journey to becoming financially free through multifamily real estate investing.
Gang, each week we interview a guest specifically chosen for their expertise in and around multifamily real estate.
We talk you through our entire process, every victory and every misstep and everything that we've learned along the way.
What does that look like? Buy right, manage right, and finance right.
The audio podcast is available wherever fine podcasts are found.
Or check us out on our YouTube page where you'll find tons of other great content.
So, okay. I'm trying to, I get these value kind of messages all the time as well. And how do you recommend someone actually stand out? Because with all these people doing it now, how do you stand out through the noise so that I, if someone's calling on me, I would want to read their article or their content that they're sending me versus someone else's?
I would say a lot of people are doing it, but do you see very many people doing it very well in terms of like, do you feel like the content is really that good?
No.
Most of the time it's like a five bullet point.
I never really want to read it.
Yeah.
Well, and many people are claiming to be the guru and they don't have 2,000 followers.
Yeah. I like the way that I approach this, like with our clients, the way Sarah and I do is that you don't have to be necessarily the guru or the expert at something, as long as you're sharing what the clients that you help, like what the industry is doing. And you're just like a facilitator of that content. So the way that that might come out, so I guess to backtrack, Jennifer, because I want to answer your question.
Sure.
The reason why I feel the content is not great is because people think they can just whip together a blog post with five bullet points on it. And it's like the most like obvious things. Right? Build rapport, make sure to close, handle the objections when it's like, no shit, Sherlock,
ask for the referral.
Right, like really?
Wait, ask for the referral.
No.
We forgot that.
Yeah. So one of the things that you said, Jeffrey, was asking a question about how much time they're spending in front of decision makers. That's something that salespeople and sales managers especially care a lot about. Mm-hmm. So,
right, but no one talks about.
Yeah. And what the content might be is, hey, one thing that we've noticed in the clients that we're working with, other SaaS companies that are selling business to business, is that they're able to spend twice as much time in front of their clients because of these three reasons. And here's a link to an article with a little bit more information on that if you want to dig into it. Is this a challenge that you're having? That's what the first outreach might sound like is, hey, I'm not going to be assumptive and assume that I know your challenges, but for the most part, because you're like other companies that we've helped, you're probably having these challenges.
Yeah.
So I think reaching out and not assuming, because that's one of the worst things to do. I get those messages where the salesperson assumes that you're having a challenge, and it's almost like, it's almost insulting, right? It feels like they're telling you that you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
It is insulting.
It is insulting.
Okay,
it is,
so I would have phrased what you said a little bit differently and issued the challenge of how many minutes per day are you spending in front of someone that can say yes to you? Not in front of your client, because that client may not be a decision maker. They may be an influencer. Mm-hmm. And I would want to know specifically the amount of minutes a day that you spend in front of someone that can say yes to you, because if you want to double your sales, you just double that time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we have recording devices now that can actually measure that. That's the cool part.
Yeah. I love that question because it's very specific and mm-hmm. it's also really unique. I guarantee you no one's getting asked that question, but like a good piece of content.
Why do you think other gurus don't ask that question? Because they're not fucking gurus. That's why. That's the easiest way.
Oh, man. Are you just patting yourself on the back?
Of course.
Okay, just checking. All right, so Jason, I'm going to switch topics for a minute. I've noticed that your company is really big on using video to prospect.
Yeah.
Can you tell our diehards how does someone get into that? Is there a program they need to use to do it, or do they just use their phone and send a video? Like, can you send a video through LinkedIn messaging? What does that look like?
So the reason why video is so important right now is that there's a company called The Bridge Group, and this is sort of what spurred this about 6 or 9 months ago. And they study companies that do business to business outbound. And one of the trends that they noticed, it's probably no surprise to you too, is that the number of like quality conversations for sales development reps is going down per day. And yet the number of attempts to get those conversations is going up. And the reason for that, the whole case study was on the case for multi-channel. And what they're saying is that reps are relying too much on email. So if you're just sending email and you're too afraid to pick up the phone or to reach out to someone on social, you're in the most crowded medium that you could possibly be in for outreach. So where video comes in, and you could send these through email, you can send them through LinkedIn, but it's a one-to-one outreach that you can't fake. Like the video I sent you guys to get on this bike, like I can't fake that video, right?
Right.
And the people are starting to try to.
Hold on, it worked.
And people are starting to try to send more templated videos, but nothing beats spending 45 to 60 seconds sending a quick personalized video and showing that you did your research and all that other good stuff. So
the preparation is the key to the process. The video is the video, but if you show me you've prepared for me, you're going to win.
What would you tell someone who feels uncomfortable in front of video?
Yeah, they're shy or they're...
They're
ugly.
An introvert, they're ugly. Or they feel fat, or I don't know. I mean, there's a million reasons why people don't like to be on video.
Yeah. I feel fat.
But you like video.
Oh.
So Jason wouldn't be telling you necessarily.
No, but Jason's skinny, the bastard.
He probably eats well, Jeffrey.
Oh. Well, he's in Austin. He's in Austin.
Yeah, slim is a nicer term.
Oh, slim. Yeah. I'm sorry, slim.
Slender.
Yeah, slender. Svelte, as we say in the old country.
Svelte is for like a girl.
Oh.
All right, so Jason, what would you tell our diehard who's an introvert, doesn't really like video, wants to hide behind that email?
Yeah.
So I would say, first off, I understand where you're coming from because I am an introvert and I feel that we can use, introverts especially, can use their introvertedness as an excuse. Mm-hmm. I've used it lots of times.
What do they do, put
excuse.
A bag over their head when they're doing the video? Cut out the eye thing?
It's true. I'm not going to go to that networking event because I'm an introvert. I'm not going to do this because I'm an introvert. It's true. People do.
Oh.
Yeah.
And it's a huge excuse. And there's been so many cool studies on being introverted and extroverted and, a lot of successful people, especially leaders of companies, are actually introverted people. So I think the first thing is make sure that you're not using your introvertedness as an excuse. And the big thing you got to think about is hey, everything comes down to fear. Like, hey, you're scared that someone's going to judge you and they might reject you. And that's totally okay to feel that way, but that's a part of sales. But and video, you just got to try it and move past it.
You're on video. You can't even hear them reject you. I mean, so, think about it.
It's a one-way video.
The yeah. video is a stepping stone to a face-to-face meeting.
Yeah.
I think.
Is there a, I agree.
I mean, it got us face-to-face, didn't it?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a special platform or program you use to send videos? Because a lot of email clients won't actually embed the email within it, and then you have to click out, and then people don't click.
Yeah. So there's a couple things, if I could just share a couple quick tips that
yeah.
make people feel a little more comfortable with video. One of the things is that if you aren't right now, start doing more Zoom calls. So that could just be internal, like people on your team, like start doing more of this stuff. And there's two things you should practice. One is like making eye contact with the webcam, right? So it looks like I'm talking to you instead of at you mm-hmm. like this and looking at the screen.
Yeah.
The other thing too is like, I don't have like a professional setup or anything in here, but make sure the lighting is good, right? Make sure the lighting is good. Make sure you got some headphones on and practice. Like, it's just like anything else. Like when I was sending these videos, I've sent out hundreds, probably pretty close to over 1,000, like one-to-one videos at this point, because I prospect myself every day. And I practice sending out those videos. It just takes practice. It's like anything else when you're practicing your sales script or whatever, just do a bunch of them and the repetition will make you feel more comfortable.
It's like when you redo your Instagram story like 500 times before you press upload.
Or this wait, is why I got rid of Instagram.
I was one of those people.
Okay. So when you do a video, do you script it?
So I treat this the same as, any other sort of cold call or voicemail or whatever. You want to have a general idea of what you want to say. And you might need to script it out word for word the first couple of times you do it. But the really where you should get to is you have like three bullet points. It's like, hey, you're introducing who you are. You're saying something personalized. You're talking about how you can help them and you have a call to action. You know, there's three or four components of it that are pretty straightforward. So to answer your question, Jennifer, about the tool, I recommend a tool called Loom.
Vidyard
is great. Also, Soapbox is great. Yeah. I mean, like there's really good tools. I prefer Loom just because the workflow is the easiest for what we do.
Yeah.
So Loom can record
your screen and put your video like at the bottom, mm-hmm. or it can just record you. You get to decide. But cool. It's really cool if you're doing like a video tutorial for someone. Like sometimes what we'll do, like for example, today Alex is filming a Loom, and in it, it's for the 2020 Sales Vision members, our private Facebook group, and basically, he's showing them a new workflow. So like, hey guys, this is Alex. Here's where you go if you want to get the replays and you don't want to watch them on Facebook. You can watch them in your portal right here. Here's the show notes we're adding. Like, he's showing them on his screen all of that. And they can see him while he's filming it. They can't click it. It's a video. But he'll include the links in there for how to do it. But it's really cool because it's not just a video of someone's screen. You actually see their face. So you feel like, okay, there's this deeper connection to the person.
Yep.
I like it.
You brought up a really good point too, in that we can dig into the prospecting script a little bit more, but you brought up a really good point in that video can be used for so many more things than prospecting. I think you should use it throughout the sales process. So if you're selling virtually, which I imagine most of the people listening to this have to hop on Zoom calls, right?
Yeah.
And oftentimes, I just went through this the other day where I'm talking to like a VP of corporate development at a nonprofit that we want to do some prospecting for to help them get partnerships. And that first call, her CEO and the president were not on that call. So what I did in knowing that, hey, she's not the only decision maker, is how could I recap our conversation in like a 2-minute video, throw it into the email, and then when she brings it back to her CEO and president, like they have a quick video so they can see me. They're like, okay, cool. Jason sounds like he knows what he's talking about. Here's what they covered. Instead of having to read through an entire long email where I capture like all the notes from the meeting. Or when you do if you're doing demos, and because I do a typically like a 45-minute like video call where I'll do a demo and show how our service works, no CEO is going to sit through a 45-minute recording.
That is correct, sir.
Yeah.
They won't even start to look at it. How about that?
You see the end time is 45 minutes, and you're like, not right now.
Yeah.
Like, no. So you can use video to explain what's in the proposal that you put in. I mean, you can use video for all kinds of cool stuff. So
I agree with that. And so
definitely recommend using it throughout the process.
How sophisticated should the video be? I mean, you're in a bedroom somewhere in in Austin, Texas, correct?
Well, I prefer home office, Jeffrey.
Oh, I'm sorry. Home office.
He likes busting balls, Jason. I know you just met, but
what I meant is it doesn't look sophisticated. It's not. It's a regular house.
But that's
office.
Okay. If you were like videoing me, if you were sending me a video from a set, I'd be like, who is this person? Like, why are they on a set? Why aren't they just like sitting down to talk to me?
Oh.
I want to see unsophisticated. I feel like it's real versus like if we go to, I'm pointing over there because we have a green screen, but if you're going and the green screen's behind you, I'm like, all right, they're trying to sell me something.
Yeah, but I mean, Jason. If I turn the camera around, what would I see? Is your bed made? Is your bed not made?
I don't even think we can see his bed.
Oh.
Well, there's no bed in here. It's an office. That's why.
I got it. Okay. So,
I wasn't joking.
But okay, here's the deal. Here's the deal, though. The audience, our diehards want to know, is the background going to be okay?
Yeah. How important is the background? And let's talk about that.
Yeah, the background is certainly important. Lighting is really the most important thing. So you want to be at a place that's well lit, and go to Target or Walmart or whatever and buy some cheap lighting if you need it.
Go to B&H Photo.
Actually, I'll put a link to this in the show notes, but I just got the newer ring light and it's amazing. It goes from like the yellow color to the white color. It's $200.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'm going to have to look into that actually.
Yeah, I'll send you it. I'll send it to you. It was so cheap.
So the background is important. What you don't want to see in the back, like preferably a plain white wall or some sort of office background is preferable. But what you don't want to see is if you are working from home and your office is in your bedroom, or you're in the kitchen, like you don't want a lot of busyness in the background. The background shouldn't be a distraction. So a plain wall is great. Or if you're in a home office, like that's okay. But let's not look like you're in a college dorm room.
Right.
How about a library in the background, like books to make you look intelligent?
Yeah, if that's your thing, for sure.
Yeah, but if you haven't read for like the last decade, don't put books there.
Tell me. you can't fake it in today's world. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
So I get this question a lot. How many times is too much? And I have my own theory on it, but I really want to know yours. Like, how many times should a person follow up and how much is too much?
So if you're prospecting in the correct way and adding value and the person's not saying unsubscribe or not interested, depending on who it is, you could reach out an infinite amount of times if they're spread out enough, So the way that I segment this and what I feel is really underrated in prospecting is prioritizing your prospecting efforts. Don't treat every prospect exactly the same. So you should have like an A-list or dream list of clients that you really want to work with. And these might be like the big brands and the logos that you're going after. And then your sort of mid-range might be your bread and butter clients. And you have people that you don't want to spend a lot of time on at all. So in terms of touches, like typically what we'll do is a sequence of 8 to 12 touches that includes email, LinkedIn, and video before we move on. Now, if we had a different subset of like Fortune 500s we were going after, we might do 15 to 20 touches per person that we're reaching out to at that company before moving on.
And with your company, do you actually prospect for other companies?
Yeah, that's our bread and butter is doing the prospecting for the companies. We're starting to get more into like what I've heard called done with you, sort of programs where we're teaching you our system and then helping you implement it because more people, it depends on the business. It's smart for some businesses to outsource this role and it's not smart for others, right? Especially if you have salespeople that have the bandwidth to do it, we'll go in and teach them how to do it. But that's what we're seeing in terms of touches.
That's cool.
But the salesperson himself or herself wants a lead right now who's qualified and willing to buy tomorrow.
Yep. Yeah, but it's not always that easy. You actually have to do the hard work, which is prospecting.
Because it sounds like the people that do listen to this, I'm assuming, are those hard workers, but they might have a boss that's like, dude, you got to make 100 cold calls
a day.
Yes, you
know? Yes, they have that.
That's
for sure.
Very typical. So if that's you, I've been in that place before. What I would recommend is doing something separate outside of business hours and make a case study. Make your own personal case study out of it. So try some of the stuff that we're sharing and doing more personalization, creating more videos and say, you know what? I'm going to take 10 of the prospects that I reach out to out of the 100 per day or whatever it is.
Yeah,
and I'm
going
to try this approach and make a case study. I'm going to bring it to my sales manager and be like, well, actually, I crushed my quota last month because I did this other stuff that took way less effort and was more intentional and utilized our resources much better.
Preach. Or
that's, you're exactly correct, yes. Which I would recommend every single time. But the sales manager is going to go, yeah. Now, did you make the cold calls?
You know what? The sales manager at the same time just wants results, right? And so
just
they think
you
that you can get these results through their method. And if you create this case study and become number one in the company,
right,
all of a sudden, they're going to want to know what you're doing.
Or you're going to realize how stupid it was and go to your competitor.
And go to the next guy. Exactly.
Another fantastic episode of Sell or Die is now in the books.
Let's let the listener be the judge of that.
You can be. Subscribe. Rate and review our show today. In fact, right now.
Or if that sounds too complicated, tell a friend.
Tell both your friends.
Because if you're not selling,
you're dying.
We're leaving.
Au revoir.
Shalom. Diehards. If you love the show, make sure you've subscribed.
And if you've subscribed, make sure you rate us on iTunes or give us a star on Overcast.
And if you've done all of that, tell a friend about the best sales podcast on the planet. Or better yet, tell both your friends.
And if you've done all of that, well, you're a true sell or diehard, and we thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellerDieNetwork.com.